Well, as we do, let's open our Bibles to John chapter 3 and verse 16. I'm going to read John chapter 3 and verse 16, 17, and 18. And then I believe we'll read John 13. Let's do that tonight. John 13 and verses 34 and 35. Let's read verses 16, 17, and 18 together. For God so that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And John chapter 13, and verses 34 and 35, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Now, we've been, as we conclude these series of messages, and if you didn't get the messages or you'd like to, they're available. You can go into the Faith Food Bookstore and you can ask for them on CD or DVD free of charge. We don't charge for them. Or you can download them all from the internet. And the other thing we're going to do, which will make it easier for you, is to put all the messages on one CD in MP3 format, so that you don't have to carry around a bunch of CDs with you. We're going to be doing that shortly. But one of the things that we've always, and of course for some of you, you may know this, some of you may be hearing it for the first time, but words play a significant part in our life, and the title of this series is Speak the Word Only. And one of the things about our words is that they are and should be our servants. Words should be your servants. And what do I mean? The words that you speak should serve you. And sometimes we're not taking advantage, or not even taking advantage, we're not using our words to do things. We're talking about things, but we're not using our words as a sword. We're not using it like Jesus said God said in Isaiah 55:8, he said, for 55:10, he said, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth. I'm reading from the King James. And maketh it to bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So his words don't return thither. They don't come back to him, but they accomplish what they're supposed to do. And in this case, he said, they water the earth, and that so it can bring forth. It can bud and shoot up and bud and bring forth seed and provide something. That's serving you. Isn't that not correct? So your words ought to go out of your mouth to produce something to serve you. See, does that make sense to everybody? So one of the things that we're here to do is to establish God's covenant, and we're going to do that through our words, and we're going to do that through our faith in God. But most importantly, our words play a critical part in that, in how we use our words. And you know what Romans 12:2, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you're going to have your mind transformed so that the words that you do speak serve you. They don't come back empty. And of course, Matthew, I believe it's Matthew, says that we're going to stand and we're going to have to give an account. Matthew 12, 35 through 37 says that we're going to have to give an account for every idle word that we speak that doesn't produce. So it's important, and you know, we all, because we live in this flesh, we've got to put down thoughts and renew our mind every day. You know, we get involved in daily activities on jobs, and we're working, and we can get caught up in things, and we can say things, and we can express what? Our thoughts. And our thoughts come out in what? Words. And sometimes those words, you know, after they come out, you go, why did I say that? You know, I didn't mean to say that. Well, sometimes it's too late. The damage is done. But whether you wanted to say it or not, the words, if spoken in faith, are going to produce. And so we need to be mindful of the things that we think on, the things that we meditate upon, are the things that we're going to talk about, and the things that we talk about are things, and meditate, are things that we're going to act out, we're going to act on. And so we need to just be conscious of that as we're growing in the things of God. But our words can make us prosperous or can make us come out in lack. So your words, what you think on, if you think, and of course I'm not saying things that you already don't know, but feed upon this, that if you think that you can't make it, then you won't. If you think that you're not ever going to be able to get ahead, then you won't. And one of the things that I'm becoming very keenly aware of, and, you know, of course, we've heard Brother Hagin, when he was alive, share visions that he had of Jesus. But I remember him talking about this particular man who came in, and he was impressed. He said he was impressed to lay hands on this person. And he said, bend over and see if you can do something else that you couldn't do before. If. And he said, of course, the man bent over and he couldn't bend over. And so he said this went back and forth two or three times. And every time he laid hands on him, he felt the power of God go out of his hands. And this was subsequent to the Lord appearing to him, putting his fingers in the palm of each hand and saying, I've anointed you with a special anointing. And he said, when you feel the power of God jump between your hands, when you put your hands between someone, he said, know there's a demon spirit or demon influence involved. So he began to know that there was a demon influence where this man was concerned. He felt the fire jump between his hands. And so he said, see if you can do something you couldn't do before. Well, that's not faith talking. So he said that as he was standing there at the pulpit, he went back up at the pulpit and he said, he's looking at the people, and off to his left, he said, Jesus is standing there in an open vision. And he started to talk to him, and he said in this vision, Brother Hagin said to him, you know, started to tell him about this man, and that he said there was an influence there, and he said, Jesus, I know you told me I know you told me to lay hands on him, but it didn't change. And he said, the Lord said to him, I said he's healed. He said, or something, I think he said, I said he's healed. Or he said, I said when you lay hands on him, he'd be healed. Well, he said this went back and forth two or three times with Jesus in an open vision. And he said the third time he saw fire come out of Jesus' eyes and told him in a loud voice, I said he was healed, and he disappeared. And Brother Hagin said, I got it. He said, if. So his own words affected his faith in the words that Jesus had spoken to him, that when you lay hands on the sick, they will recover. And he began to say, if. It wasn't, no, you are healed. So he said, when he went back, he said to that man, come back here. He laid hands on him and he said, now stoop over. He didn't ask him if. And he said, that man went, over he went, healed, because there was no if about it. He was healed. So our words, what sometimes we see or sometimes things that we're confronted with in life, we can begin to question God and question his word. Well, you know, something happened and hands were laid on me and I don't see a change. What has that got to do with it? That's got nothing to do with it. If you believe, what did Brother Hagin always say when he taught? Keep the switch of faith turned on. What does that mean? You keep your mouth, because your what comes out of your mouth, your words are an expression of your faith. Your words is your faith speaking. So when you speak, it needs to be what you believe. If you believe you're healed, then you're going to say that. If you're not sure, you're going to say that too. So what you confess is your faith speaking. And we need to make sure that we're speaking God's word, which is what the theme of this series has been, speaking his word. And of course, the other lessons was another word for faith, and we use this in some other the lessons, the last few lessons, was that another word for faith is confidence. Another word for faith is conviction. Another word for faith is your firm persuasion. So your firm persuasion in your heart and your mind is coming out of your mouth in words. And so that is what needs to be being spoken. And one of the things that I believe Brother Hagin used to say this, I've seen it in his magazine a few times, faith's confessions create realities. Faith's confessions create realities. Now, tonight, what I wanted to do is jump into this here. Let's turn over to Matthew 12, because I referenced that, but I want us to look at that for a moment. Matthew chapter 12, and this is familiar scripture, and verse 35, 36, and 37. It says, a good man, this is Matthew 12, starting in verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now, in some of the other translations, I like the New International Version talks about a careless word. And the Amplified talks about an idle, an inoperative, non-working word. So words that we just kind of ramble off, not in faith, those are idle and non-working. So what we're saying is the words that we speak need to serve a purpose. They need to be in faith. We walk by faith. We walk by our convictions. We walk by our persuasion, which is the Word of God, and not by sight, not by what we see. And of course, you don't have to turn there, but Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. The Complete Jewish Bible says the tongue, this is Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has power over life and death. Those who indulge it, life or death, must eat its fruit. So if you indulge in death-filled words, you're going to indulge in it. That means, what does that mean? I can't make it. I can't afford this. I have this sickness and it's not changing. That means you're going to indulge in it. So there's nothing impossible with God. I woke up recently out of sleep early in the morning and I kept hearing, there is nothing impossible with you, God. Nothing is impossible to those who believe. It was ringing in my spirit when I woke up. Nothing is too hard for thee. Nothing is impossible with God. And we need to have that mindset that there's nothing. He paid. He holds the keys of life and death. So there is nothing too hard for God. There's nothing impossible with God. Not one thing is impossible. So when your mind starts to think, can't be done, newsflash, you missed it somewhere. What does Galatians say? God is not mocked. Nothing's too hard for him. Not one thing. I don't care what it is. It could look like everything has fallen apart. I mean, when you look at Job, everything. Nothing is too hard for God. Everything was restored, wasn't it? And then some. So even if everything you had was lost and destroyed, nothing is impossible for God. Not a thing. Nothing is impossible for him to restore that. So we need to watch what we say. Our words are our confession, and our words will determine our faith. It'll affect our faith and it'll determine it. Now, let's turn over to Proverbs 3. I want to look at this for a moment. We're establishing some thoughts here. Proverbs chapter 3, I'm going to just go to it real quick and look at that. Very familiar scripture. In the King James, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. This is in verse 6 in the Good News Translation. It says, remember the Lord in everything you do, and he will show you the right way. So we're to remember the Lord in everything we do, and he'll show us the right way to go, if we do. Now, I'd like you to turn over to Colossians. I want to spend a few moments here in Colossians. This is what the Lord stirred in my heart here to focus on this evening. Colossians chapter 2, and let's look at verse 5 this evening. And I'll tell you, I have half a mind to starting from the beginning of chapter 1 and just read it so you can get to the point here, verse 5 in chapter 2. But I'm going to let you do that because it'll bless you. But verse 5 says, "For though I am away from," I'm sorry, the King James, "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding," what? "Your order." See, those folks that don't like order or discipline, newsflash, is right here. He's beholding their order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Now, let me read this. I'm not going to get into the Greek, but I'm going to just share with you that word steadfastness in the Greek means that which has been made firm. It also means that which furnishes a foundation. This is what this particular Greek word in the New Testament, and I will say it's the only time this particular word is used in the New Testament, and it also means on which a thing rests firmly. It's a support. So let's look at that. He says, "Though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order and your foundation," or your firmness, your support. In other words, all the things that we've been sharing about conviction, your persuasion, all of that could be wrapped up in this word steadfastness. In other words, and the steadfastness of your faith. In other words, the firmness, that which you're resting on, your foundation. You're resting upon that. He's seeing that in the Spirit here. Let me read this in the Amplified. It says, "For though I am away from you in body, yet I am with you in spirit, delighted at the sight of your standing shoulder to shoulder in such orderly array, and the firmness and the solid front and steadfastness of your faith in Christ, that leaning of the entire human personality on Him in absolute trust and confidence in His power, His wisdom, and His goodness." Wow. So he was joying over their standing shoulder to shoulder in such orderly array, and the firmness, this foundation that they're setting on, the firmness and solid front. All these things, when I started to read this, I started to think of three things immediately. I started to think about the Tower of Babel and those people all in agreement, shoulder to shoulder, saying the same thing, thinking the same thing, and nothing was withheld from them. That's the first thing that came to me. Then the other thing I started to think about was putting on the whole armor of God in Ephesians 6. A solid front. What is the devil seeing when he comes at you? Is he seeing you gird about with truth? Does he see the breastplate of righteousness? Does he see the helmet of salvation? Does he see your feet shod with the gospel of peace? What front does he see? Does he see a solid front? See, and I started to think it's one thing when he comes at an individual, there's a solid front. What if a church is that way? Oh man, there ain't nothing that church is going to be withheld. No chink in the armor. That means everybody's saying the same thing. Everybody's thinking the same thing. That means just like we've been experiencing, you create an atmosphere for the supernatural where fear can't stay, sickness can't stay, disease, nothing can stay here that smells like the devil. Because you don't allow them here. Isn't that the truth? So that's what excited me, that when I saw this, I said, yeah, that's what we're starting to experience here. Unity of the faith. And we have what? Shoulder to shoulder in an orderly array, and we have a firmness about what we believe. We have a steadiness about what we think and say. We're not just talking idle stuff. We're talking faith. We're talking overcoming. We're talking nothing's impossible to us because we believe. So when God says, I've given you the Nanuet Mall, yes, sir, not a problem. We got it. Don't know how we're going to take it, but he's giving us a beginning. He's saying, just like the Israelites, I've given you the land. And they all shout. But see, then when they went in to see the land, they went, oh man, you don't know what's in that land. See, and they brought back an evil report. But this group, God is establishing what? We're going to stand shoulder to shoulder in orderly array, thinking the same thing, talking the same thing, and that our speech is comely. Isn't that not right?
Yes.
So we will go in and take the land. And the first building will be the Seer's building. And the Lord has said, I'm giving you that whole property as a spoil.
Yes.
That means we don't have to work for it. We just go in and take it. That's no different. When you get an evil report, what's the front that's coming? Do you have the armor of God on? Because here's the thing. I believe, doesn't it say, let's go over there and take a look. Yeah, it sure does. I'll read it for you. Ephesians chapter 6. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. See, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand when? In the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, and above all, taking the shield of faith, what? Wherewith you shall be able to, not maybe, you are able to quench all, not some, all the fiery darts of the wicked. Hallelujah. That's the front he needs to see. That he's going to come up against my shield of faith, and it's going to quench every single fiery dart that comes. And what does this say? And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And if you look up that word, it's rhema. And rhema is a little different than logos. Rhema is the living, inspired Word of God. It is the sword of the Spirit. That's what he's going to come up against. So that's what happened when Jesus was tempted and he said, turn these stones into bread. What did he say? It is written, Rhema. When he tempted Jesus, Rhema came from his mouth, which was the sword of the Spirit. That is what he needs to come up against. This church as a group, as a church body, and you as an individual. See, when I read that letter, I said, okay, by Nikki Cruz, that he's never seen so much discouragement in the church. Well, the devil's out doing what he's doing at this end times. He's pulling out the stops. I believe in, what did it say? I was reading the last lesson. I was reading from, I believe it was 2 Peter. And it was over, maybe it was 1 Peter. Anyways, I was reading a passage about the times that we live in. And I believe it says that we live in perilous times. And the times that we live in, that word perilous is also dangerous. So we live in dangerous times that we live in. And we need to have our armor and our sword sharpened and on and no holes in the armor. We don't need to put down the breastplate of righteousness and take off the helmet of salvation. It's to stay on. So let me read this from God's Word translation. Although I'm absent from you physically, I'm with you in spirit. I'm happy to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. How firm. The New American Standard says, for even though I am absent in the body, nevertheless, I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. So our steadfastness needs to be firm, needs to be strong. It's a foundation. And also, this word, steadfastness, in Colossians 2:5, they use it as a metaphor. It said, in a military sense, a solid front. So your steadfastness, your firmness, your foundation is a solid front for you. That is the solid front. So that's why I said that got me to thinking about Ephesians 6 and some other scripture verses. Now let's turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3. And I want to take a look at another scripture before we wrap up here. Now I'm going to read, I know the scripture that I was sharing before, sorry, this was in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. But let me just read this here, chapter 3 and 2 Peter. It says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words. See, mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day, as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord, which will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away, and a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And account that the long suffering of the Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, under their own destruction. Now verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, we be them, we know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Boy, I'm telling you, don't be led away by the error of the wicked. Don't let your minds get corrupted and be deceived and led away, because what does that say? You will, what does it say? Don't, it says, lest you be also being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. What does that mean? It's going to corrupt your confidence. It'll corrupt your persuasion. It'll corrupt your convictions. And you'll say, well, I don't know, you know, it's all right. We just come over here and do this. No, it's not all right. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And so we, and this is what the Lord has impressed me to say, we as a body, I'm telling you, we are growing to the place where God is looking to take this ministry, this body of believers, to a place supernatural, that he's looking at us and saying, okay, they're ready. Don't get corrupted with the world's way. And here, just as this is a warning, he's warning us through the word of God. Do not be led away with the error of the wicked. And this word steadfastness means firm condition, steadfastness of mind. So when you get led away by the error of evil people, it begins to corrupt the steadfastness of your mind. Then, well, right, well, you know, no, right is right, and wrong is wrong. Period. That's it. There is no little right, little wrong. No, right is, truth is truth, and error is error. And this says here, if we get led away by the error of wicked men, it says you'll fall from your own what? Steadfastness. And that's what the Lord is warning us here in this scripture. Let me read this in the New Living Translation. It says, I am warning you ahead of time, dear friends, so that you can watch out and not be carried away by the errors of these wicked people. I don't want you to lose your own secure footing. See? This is the Amplified. Let me warn you, therefore, beloved, that knowing these things beforehand, you should be on your guard, lest you be carried away by the error of lawless and wicked persons and fall from your own present firm condition, your own steadfastness of mind. Your faith ought to be settled, firm, convinced. See, if I said, what's your name? You don't go, I'll get back to you. I'm not sure. No, you know what your name is. You know where you live. You know how you got here. You're not wishy-washy. You are settled about that. And there's some things that are, that we should have a absolute firm conviction about where the Word of God is concerned. That's it. That's what I believe. You don't have to argue with people, but you can very nicely say, I'm sorry, but that's what I believe. That's it. You don't have to be nasty with people, but people who want to do wicked things, they believe what they believe. And I believe what I believe. I believe in Jesus who paid for my sins. He went to hell. He was tempted in all situations, so he could feel the feelings that I'm going through, but I don't, but I've been delivered from the power of darkness. I've been delivered from that. So why would I want to dabble in it? Why would I want to yield to that? And so the Lord is admonishing us here to not be carried away. This is the God's Word translation. Dear friends, you already know these things. So be on your guard not to be carried away, listen to this, by the deception of people who have no principles. Then you won't fall from your firm position. See, if you want to buy into ungodly principles, then you get deceived, and it says here, you fall from your firm position. The New American Standard says, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness. God is looking, because I can tell you what's going to happen is when Pastor Clinton always used to talk about this, that the bag, he's pulling the noose on the bag and it's getting, he's closing the time. God is giving us this property next door because the base, which was spoken by Brother Copeland, he said the foundation that he spoke to Pastor Sarah in 2005, he said, the foundation is now complete. He said it took all these years to establish it. So the foundation is complete, and he said, it took this long to build this foundation because of what it's going to have to support. So God is already telling us. He's been prophesying it. He's been saying it. I'm going to do something. He's telling us, but he's also telling us in his word, not be led away by the errors of wicked people. Keep your hearts and minds on him. Don't be moved by things you see. Walk by faith. Have a firm conviction. Have a firm persuasion about what you believe, because this is the base. And the base is going to be used to minister to the thousands that come. And you better have a firm conviction about what you believe. Because that's what's going to be needed when the people come. Is that not true? So those are just some things and rumblings in my heart today that I wanted to share, that we keep a firm, persuaded heart, a clean heart, and not be steered in the world's ways of thinking, or unprincipled men and women, or people that just don't have any, you know, they don't have the right scruples. Right? You say, no, this is what I believe. If it means your job, so be it. In other words, people that have no principles, what do they say? What does that mean? If somebody says, oh, come on, it's all right. You don't have to do that on the job. Don't worry about that. What do you believe? It may mean your job. So what? You know, the interesting thing is, sometimes, you know, I've been in situations and I've seen situations where sometimes managers and people in positions of authority sometimes are watching how people handle things. And sometimes they're looking for people with principles in those settings to trust. And they may already know I've got a group of people that if I let them loose, I have a problem. And they may be looking on that job for people with principles and people that have godly principles. And they may find out, they may turn a company over to you. But we need to stand up for what's right, and where God is leading individuals and with this ministry. One of the things I remember Brother Copeland shared, and I may get this wrong, but somebody helped me, but years ago, didn't he prophesy at the beginning of this ministry to keep it pure on the word, keep it pure financially, keep it pure sexually? What else did he say? I don't know, but he shared those three things. He said, keep it pure on the word, keep this ministry pure financially, keep it pure sexually. And he said those things, and he said that God would work mightily. So those are things that haven't changed, you know. God spoke those things to this ministry, and is everything that we've done in our ability, I know Pastor Sarah and Pastor Clinton did, to do those things. And we thank God for that. I don't have anything else. I think that's about what I'm going to share. I'm finished with what the Lord has put in my heart for this series of messages. But we need to keep our hearts steadfast in this season that we're in and keep it firm and pure, because I know when it talks about, I was sharing that scripture from another lesson, that the times that we live in, and this is in 2 Timothy 3, it says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient," and so forth. And it goes on, it tells you what kind of perilous times that would be. And if you look at that particular word perilous is dangerous. It means a fierce time, a dangerous time. And we're living in those times right now. We're living in dangerous, fierce times, but not such that we need to be afraid. But you don't need to look at the news and be worried about all that you see and hear. You need to put your trust, like we said, put your trust in God. Put your hope in Him, because nothing is impossible. His sheep hear His voice. He guides you. He'll steer you away from harm and harm's way. So we are the ones that have the power of God. We are the ones that have the Word of God to help this earth in the situation it's in. And so we're the ones not to be afraid. We're not the ones to be moved away by unscrupulous deals and principles. But we're to have godly principles and godly faith that can change this earth and change this world and change people. And so that's what God is encouraging us to do, and to keep our minds on Him. I know Pastor Judy shared, I don't know if she shared it here, but I remember she was sharing where she was somewhere in a restaurant somewhere, and the Holy Ghost spoke to her and said, "Tell that man if he's did she share that? Yeah. I don't know if she shared it here, but just said, you know, go get it checked. If you get it checked now, it'll go well. If you don't, it'll be malignant." And she said, "You never saw the man, but you see, that's what we have. We have the Holy Ghost in us to help people, to deliver people, to deliver cities, to deliver nations, and deliver them from the peril that they're in. That's, now is not the time to be steered away by evil people. God's, we're at the zenith, if you will, of all things, and God's looking for His people to deliver people and to set them free. And as Pastor Hagin said, we're so close to eternity, you could reach out and touch it. And so now's the time to be fired up and ready to go and busy, is it not? Amen. Amen. Father, we thank You for these few thoughts and words this evening to stir our hearts. Thank You, Father, that as we meditate upon them, as we meditate upon Your Word, we'll keep our hearts afire. We'll keep our hearts lit. We'll keep the oil lit in the lamp. And Father, we thank You that we won't be caught off guard. And thank You, Father, that we'll stand firm and steady in these unsteady times that we live in. And we will be the beacon of hope. We will be the light. We will be the lighthouse to those lost and can't find their way. And Father, we thank You for being a light set upon a hill as a ministry and individuals. Thank You, Father, that when we go places, the light shines bright. And we thank You that people see in us hope, and we can lead them to Christ. And we thank You, Father, for it in Jesus' name. Amen.